sexy, quirky, flirty, and cute. Who's dainty, delicate, fierce, and feminine. A killer queer who's utterly fabulous. Who's utterly fabulous.
I have seen a couple of people come in. Did you want to read in this round, or there will be a chance in the second round? We'll do that.
Sure.
Can I get your first name?
Sam.
Sam. Let's bring up Sam.
It might be hard to follow. It's very cryptic, but thank you for your time. Fragility in exchange for 12 words and pain insurmountable. That smile leaves one to wander and wonder. Erstwhile, the eyes leave at your feet what you denied willingly. What leads one down the path of blissful ruin and defiance of your awareness of the future? Perhaps it's exactly what's irrational, or that which never yields to logic, that'll cripple us in mind, body, and spirit. A creature named. In full bloom, the very fabric of your soul is invigorated, for your heart runneth over. Akin to energizing the sun after assimilating into darkness, a warmth that discharges you from all ferality. A freedom experienced that can never be forgotten. The gut wrenches as the hammer falls, but the soul's curtains are drawn when the hammer falls in the creature's presence. Love.
As we give Sam another hand, we've heard some wonderful readings tonight, and I'm going to read after this, and we'll take a break. But we've heard some wonderful readings tonight. Give yourselves and everybody else another hand. And this is called Around Me. There are pictures, even sounds, of words hiding in the shadows, the darkness, under the leaves of these bushes, ever here beside me as I walk or even stop. These words cannot be either seen or heard by me, perhaps anyone. But in a simple brushing alongside, as they silently slide out into, become inherited, absorbed, become the blood, flesh, become later, the ink, the page. Thank you very much. And you just heard again from the first round of the June 3rd and the Journey Continues monthly open mic reading series at the Elm Cafe. Readings by Peter Montaner, Sterling Sunrai, Beth Marie Michalska, Lori Voss, Sarah Emtage, Meg Freer, Billy Kearns, Bruce Cudmore, Callista Markotich, Linda Wild, Liz Huntley Jens, Jenica, Michael H., Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Marinus Sorensen, Jane McDonald, Harlequin Crow. The last few seconds of his reading did fall into the second hour. I should point that out. And so then obviously Sam's reading and my reading did as well. And we are now into the second hour. So before I really introduce it, I will let you know it is about 4.5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Thank you for listening so far. And I'll be right back after this, but I hope you can stick around for the second half in the next hour. Let's do this. I'll be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And at this point, it is about 7.5 minutes after 5 o'clock. The first thing I'd like to do is thank all of you very much for having tuned in to the first segment of this show, and I do hope you can stay tuned for the second segment for more of pretty much the same. I will also have a few minutes at the end to talk about some upcoming events, mostly local upcoming events. And I would like to thank all who participated in the event that evening and for Shay, who took very good care of us there, and the Cafe as well, for always being there for us. And of course, the Cafe has always been a wonderful, caring, and supportive host. I would thank them for that. Also, just a quick reminder before I move on, or we move on, something I do at the end of each hour or segment is to remind you that every week, both hours, every week I upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They will remain there for 3 years. And so now, more as an official introduction to the hour, it is 9 minutes after 5 o'clock, and you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM, again located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University. My name again is Bruce, in case you just tuned in. Here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6, we do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. So coming up in the second hour, and from again that June 3rd and the Journey Continues open mic in that monthly series at the Cafe, we're going to move into readings from the second round that evening, and you will hear readings by Beth Marie Michalska, Lori Voss, Sarah Emtage, Billy Kearns, Bruce Cudmore, Calista Markotich, Linda Wild, Liz Huntley Jens, Jenica, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Marinus Sorensen, Jane McDonald, Harlequin Crow, Sam, and then me. As mentioned, I usually do this at the top of each hour or each segment, whatever the case may be. It's just that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content and edited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. Very quickly, I mean, if you heard the first round or if you've listened to the show before or gone to any other reading in the round, you know what it's all about. But in case you just happen to tune in, readings in the round are when people arrive. They sign up a sheet to read, and then I just go down that list. Each poet gets reads one poem and then hands the mic over to me, and then I call up the next person on the list, and we do a first round and then take a break, and so now we are into the second round again. This is June 3rd at the Elm Cafe, and again, because I introduce each poet as they come up and you'll hear it, I'm not going to repeat their names now, and we'll just jump right back in where we left off. Looks like we have power again, so take two. Let's bring up Beth Marie Michalska.
I'm going to do something that I've not done before, which is I had the good fortune to be born into Canada's only official bilingual province. Does anyone know which province that is? New Brunswick, that's right. Okay. So, like I was saying, that usually Tuesday nights I can't come because I sing. And so this won't be a long story. It'll be a very short one, but it could become a long story. But anyway, so at the last concert, our choir sang most of the composers were French. And so one of my friends who doesn't read French, she was coming to it. And I kind of knew that if she had a translation beforehand, that it would probably add to the meaning of the evening for, or the afternoon for her. So I know that Eric Folsom sometimes reads translations here. I'm going to read in French a very brief poem and then my translation. So this is the very first time I've ever dared to spit it out in English, a translation of something that I've read. So what the first, in French it's called Calme de Nuit, and it's it was written by Anonymous around 1882, but Camille Saint-Saëns used it as the text for a really beautiful a cappella piece that we did. So here's the French, and although I took honors French in university, my oral French lab marks always brought me down my mark. So anyway, Calme de nuit, fraîcheur de soir, vaste sentiment des mondes, grand silence des entre noirs. Vous charmez les âmes profondes, l'éclat du soleil, la gaieté, le bruit plaise aux plus futiles, le poète seul est hanté par l'amour des choses tranquilles, par l'amour des choses tranquilles. So, here's my translation. Stillness of nights, freshness of evenings, vast beneficence of worlds, noble silence of dark lodgings, you delight profound souls, a burst of sunlight, merriment, sound pleases less, useless. A poet alone is haunted by the love of serene things. Thank you.
As we give Beth Marie another hand, let's bring up Lori Voss.
I can't stay after this, but I wanted you to know how much I have loved listening to all of you. It's been a wonderful evening. So here are a couple of short ones. Blackbirds rising. The crows in neighboring trees converse at dawn. I don't know why. Maybe as the sky stretches and shrugs off the night, the birds in their strident cawing cry, "Awake, awake, it's time for us to fly." Searching. For joy you sing sprays of stars into galaxies. In tenderness you tremble in the tear of a child. For righteousness you burn in the fierce exhilaration of linked arms and marching feet. In longing you send thought whispers like dandelion fluff in springtime, drifting through fields and concrete canyons, searching for a place to land. Thank you.
So give Lori another hand. Let's bring up Sarah Emtage.
Thank you. This is another recent one. I don't think somebody else mentioned self-forgiveness in their thing. This is called self-forgiveness. Driving back, I noticed the place where I got a ticket years ago for parking on the grass. I finally forgive myself for the transgression. Arriving home with this newfound freedom, I unpack my groceries and forgive myself for accidentally buying lactose-free sour cream. Thank you.
So give Sarah another hand. Let's bring up Billy.
So I moved last summer to a different apartment, and I just found this notebook again, which is great, and I found a poem, which I wrote almost exactly a year ago. And it was when I thought that I was moving totally away from Kingston. I thought that me and my boyfriend, we were convinced that we were going to move to California. He had this new job lined up. And I'm going to say I'm thankful. Thankful for the way life panned out. But that's a snapshot of where this poem was written. I was sitting at the Tet Center contemplating the whole thing. The summer comes for all of us. In mud and thunder and mayflies. And again, we turn to the water for advice. We sit along the stones with a council of the bugs, the birds, the moon, and the blinking of red eyes of wind farms. It's good to feel small sometimes, like a current is carrying us towards its big plans, like control is a collaboration of you, me, the seaway, and whatever it is that tethers light together with time. I don't want to leave this place, this moment. I don't want to fill out paper or figure out where to live and how to get each tooth of each gear just perfectly aligned. And it's like how I don't really want to take a shower, like how I don't really want to walk all the way home from here. I can do all of these things. The evening star told me so. It will all come together. I promise to keep listening. I promise to look as far into the horizon as I can until the shag of trees on the last island fades. Thank you.
Let's give Billy another hand. Let's bring up Bruce again.
Got one more short nature poem. It's called Cedar Leaf. Two dimensions become three in the W and V motifs of cedar bush and tree, where bifurcating leaves are reams of folded cardstock. A flitting swallow doubles back effortlessly quick like a flyer caught in city block whirlwind. My eyes track to earth the syllables and letters shaken from the paper nature uses. Language I'm relearning.
So give Bruce another hand. Let's bring up Callista.
We've heard a story about an amusement park where there's a wreck of a Hesperus. But Eric mentioned how many people, probably on the Great Lakes, they are aware of families that have lost people to storms on the Great Lakes. And my grandfather was one of those people. He drowned in a storm in 1913, a big storm, really renowned if you lived in those times. And in fact, my mother was only two, so I never knew him, obviously, but he was talked about in the family, and I thought about him a lot. And this is kind of a poem about him called Drowned. Again, a spindrift takes you up. Water slaps the sky. Now a black splash sequin backdrop for the cold coin of moon. Now a billow of bruise-hued clouds. Now an azure bowl cupping a rim of water-rinsed cliff and turf. Hurled face up, your body now a strung macrame surging in the water's high toss. Now in the equipoise crest, a sailor's mop, soaked mass of node and water-worn bone. Now all free fall back into the chopped lake. And you remember, scattered like toys on a wide green lawn, a red brick house, a ship's wheel, a calico cat. You have been here before. You have been here.
As we give Callista another hand, let's bring up Linda.
So this is another hark back to the 60s, young love of the 60s, and it works with a line from the Beatles song, I Want to Hold Your Hand. He was a boy with a white convertible, a white Chevy convertible with red vinyl seats. He wasn't a forever boy, this boy, who after high school wanted nothing so much as a herd of cows. But how not to fall in love with those intelligent blue eyes in a hot Ontario summer? The front seat of the Chevy bench style, so a boy could drive with his left hand on the wheel, right hand free to pull his girl close across red vinyl. Top down at drive-ins under Milky Way skies, top down on sultry nights in August, server approaching on roller skates, clamping the tray of burgers and root beers to the half-rolled window of the white Chevy, Beatles singing, I Want to Hold Your Hand. There had been a calf, he said. His dad had let him raise her for the 4-H contest. She was good stock, won prizes, and later was chosen for a select slaughter. He recalled the Saturday morning he took her to the stockyard. With pride, he helped to load her, consequence settling into the heart too late. It was the brown eyes, he said, watching him through the slats of the cattle car. He had called out her name.
As we give Linda another hand, let's bring up Liz.
This one is, I guess, another one on the theme of vegetables, sort of. It's called Once Upon a Lunchtime. So I'm making my kid a sandwich from scratch, and I mean really from scratch. I'm not talking like I spent $400 at Whole Foods for some out-of-season corporate monoculture so-called organic tomatoes and a crappy loaf of bread. I mean, I planted the damn tomato seeds and near broke my back weeding and watering, and then I milled some grain, and then I made the bread at an ungodly hour of the morning, and I even hand-whisked the freaking farm fresh eggs for mayonnaise. So I put the sandwich on the table, and the little bugger has the audacity to ask me for a yop instead. If you don't know what a yop is, and you shouldn't, it's a drink that purports to be yogurt, but it's actually just sugar and modified milk ingredients, in that order, mind you, in a cute little plastic bottle. Some irresponsible parent gives the kid one at a birthday party, and it's like crack. You can never go back. So he says, Mama, can I please have a yop? And I fly off the handle. Like, one moment, I'm cruising around the kitchen, sweeping up breadcrumbs. Next moment, broom clatters to the floor, and I'm soaring up at the ceiling, my black cloak fanning around me like bat wings, and my kid looking up at me like, what the hell just happened? Now I can see all the tops of the cupboards where I've never, ever dusted, and all the spiders quiet and cozy in their little corners, and I actually kind of like it up here. I think I may never come down.
Let's give Liz another hand. Let's bring up Jenica.
Now it feels I am so powerless to the whims of the everyday. There is a cupboard full of Tupperware lids, long since abandoned of their partners. Why does throwing them away feel like I am betraying the love of my mother? Every choice made of my own volition tastes bitter of sacrilege. How dare I take a step forward and leave my family behind? There's a list of tasks in front of me, but every item on the list is impeded by the existence of yet another item standing in its way. There's an intricate stack of puzzle pieces that tower far above me, and pulling any one of them loose threatens to tumble the precarious balance they have formed in the center of my hallway and on my table. I tiptoe around them as I live my life, hoping I don't knock anything free with my elbows while I eat my dinner. The kitchen is haunted by the biting anger of my sister. I hear her screams echoing every time I wash the dishes or when the freezer door gets stuck. The mess in the living room must stay to satiate the rage of my ex. He demands to have something to be mad at, and it's better if I give him a reason so carefully laid out that he can't help but trip over it. He isn't here anymore, but the walls don't know that yet. They are still hanging with the art he chose. His curtains still taunt me. Underneath all of this, there are the bones of something better. These days, life looks like a dig site. As a child, I always wanted to be an archaeologist, to dig my hands into the dirt and pull up something long forgotten and beautiful. Today, I am throwing away everything in my house that does not bring me happiness. There is something important nestled beneath the broken coffee maker, even if it's just an empty space, ripe with possibility. I clear the air the way I clear my lungs. Learning to love myself doesn't look like cherry blossoms or incense. It looks like carrying heavy cupboards up the stairs till my fingers are red and bruised. Steam cleaning the carpet. Scrubbing every surface of my life with vinegar, maybe lemon. It looks like the feeling in my chest when my body is sore in a good way for once, and the garbage is finally sitting at the curb.
To give Jenica another hand, let's bring up Brent Raycroft again.
Okay, this one's a bit longer. And I realize now, because of the title, that it's actually 5 years ago that I keep thinking that I wrote this poem and it's finished, but no, I just, it's one of those that you want to finish. But anyway, I think it's finished now. The title, it's got a peculiar title and two epigraphs. So I'll sort of talk through those and then read the bulk of it. The title is Event 2020-1208-003-040. And the epigraphs are quotes from an Ottawa Citizen article about the event. One is the author and the other is a academic physicist from Western University that he quotes. So noticeable was its steep descent and slow velocity, a snail's pace by meteor standards. Blair Crawford, Ottawa Citizen. It was very small, a very marginal event. There may be very, very small meteorites on the ground. Dr. Peter Brown, physicist, Western University. I was on the porch after dark, the night of the meteor, doing nothing much, as I do at such an hour, facing in the direction it would soon appear. The cannabis was kicking in, I'd had a beer, but this was no hallucination. It made the news in dash cam clips, though none of these were from round here or nearer, which seems odd at first, but that's because a dash cam's fixed on what's ahead and the horizon, not what happens in the sky above. I too was eyes forward, a sort of passenger, when light came up on everything, the trees, the shrubbery, my knees, for up and to the left, a sharp and single headlamp came to life within a constellation and roared soundless down an unreal slope, peaking with a brief explosion, crumbling into orange chunks and fading out. I'm told it took 4 seconds only for the details to unfold, although in memory, the sequence can be slowed. I have voyaged through the air, over mountains and the ocean, but I haven't landed far from where I started, in a rural township just to the east of this one, i.e., beneath the path of what I'd seen. Its target, you might say, though unreached. The meteor hit the atmosphere over northern New York, burned brightly into Ontario, ignoring the border near Brockville, and petering out over Lynn, a tiny hamlet where I'd once been at just this hour of night, unafraid of darkness, alone in our cold car, while my father visited the gunsmith, not wanting me to follow him, at least not in that set of footsteps, slumped in boredom, wanting something more to happen, staring through the windshield at the star-filled sky, where later, though it seems an instant now, travel-hardened bits of rock and iron would come tinkling down. Thanks.
So give Brent another hand. Let's bring up Eric.
Thank you. I'm debating to read about another shipwreck or not, or whether we have it or not. So great poems tonight. What I think I'll do instead of a shipwreck is read about food. When I was writing this book, Lulu Trib, back in the 20-teens, I had problems with the point of view because I was writing about 18th century Acadia, and I don't know a lot. And there aren't a lot of people I could ask who've been there. So I needed a point of view that was it was going to see it but not always understand what was happening. So I created a character named Thaddeus Crowe. And and he, in the course of his young life, is adopted by an Acadian family. And that's this poem. It's Thaddeus looking at the community that in Atlantic Canada that he's... No, there is no Canada yet. in the Atlantic region that he's arrived in, Thaddeus in Acadia. Rechristened the following year, I became Thaddeus Jude, the lost token delivered to the cottage of the hard-working Blanchards. Our affections grew. I drove cattle to the meadows, helped butcher pigs from a tripod. The area farmers and traders would gather at Blanchard's whenever Le Loutre came to call, an impromptu village forum on our threshold, where calloused hands sketched plain hazards, the hard knots of commerce and politics. Loyalties were local, no surprise there, embraced by shorelands they'd known since birth, tough as the ancestors a century before, who dared Atlantic waves large as mountains. One Breton descendant repeated the motto for Morlaix, Le Loutre's hometown, if they bite you, bite them. A sly retort from the men disparaged by the gentry as dogs. On summer roads I pushed a small wooden cart past sheaves of wheat and clouds of blue flax, the speckled hens roosting in apple trees, a feathery flash of geese in the garden, squash, sorrel, peas and strawberries. A pear orchard bordered the hillside above, barrels of apples, baskets of quinces, surplus grain and cattle for market, brought in coin that got us through the winter. On certain calm nights, when the moon was obliging, men with sharp eyes, familiar with tides, might loiter together in a placid cove to watch for boats from Maine or Louisbourg, from Boston even, the best deals kept quiet, trading bacon for tea in real porcelain cups, brandy for molasses, tobacco and books, fine tools, silk clothing, actual sheets of music. We kept a crock of money buried under the herbs in the kitchen garden for the bad years ahead. And the yellow morning star hung above, a deep blue sea, a swath of white snow, a streak of red sky, our beautiful and delicate disputed place, the other side of a stolen coin, Acadie. Merci.
To give Eric another hand, let's bring up Marinus again.
I'm told by Meg that my loud voice didn't make it even to the back of the room, so I'm going to try and shout. If that seems strange, it seems strange to me. and once again, I have a pile of papers I have to pick through, figure out which one I'm supposed to be reading. Sorry. I forgot something I meant to mention about Ron. He'd recently got his status card, and I am regularly at the Sacred Fire in front of City Hall has been burning now every full moon for the last 4 years since the discoveries at Kamloops, and since the shoes started piling up at City Hall. And so I would have probably been there with Ron the last time. Just another thing that didn't happen. But this did happen at the Sacred Fire 2 months ago. It's called Josiah's Hand. A family from Attawapiskat came to the Sacred Fire in the rain. They offered their bundled sema to the flames of the sacred fire. The mother introduced me to her younger son, Josiah. Josiah had advanced kidney disease and had become totally blind. His mother asked me where I was from, and I said, "I'm from here." She translated my few words to Josiah as he sat down beside me. I took his hand to say hello, and he held my hand in silence. As his family were smudging, Josiah continued to hold my hand. I haven't held someone's hand that long for a very long time. I've never held so long the hand of someone I just met. I became teary-eyed from the blessing of the sacred fire in Josiah's hand. 10 minutes later, we were still holding hands when Josiah's mother got up to go. There are no adequate words to describe our holding of hands. It was like we were gazing deeply and longingly into each other's eyes. Things like this tend to happen around the sacred fire. Blessings and warm feelings flow easily around the sacred circle of the fire. Thank you.
So we give Marinus another hand. Let's bring up Jane.
I don't know that this poem, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I don't know if it needs an introduction. No, I'm not going to give an introduction. Okay. Sorry, I'll come back here. Okay. The title is, "Do You Keep That Field Unmowed to Attract the Bees and Such?" Perhaps you look up and see the apple tree sweep the glittering air, and before it the vineyard deepening its fruit. The afternoon is late. Your customers keep finding you. They ask you for everything. Your daughters have left. Will they manage a visit? Starlings conspire in a racket in trees surrounding the rows. Finches peep and dip at the start of their flight south. You are nearing your 60th year, as are your hips. What if the speckled birds strip the fruit as they threatened, or winter's bite is too sharp? 10 fields over, at the end of the telescope of your mind, the apple is gold and it is sweet.
And as we give Jane another hand, let's bring up Harlequin again.
So I've mentioned at a couple past readings now that in addition to being a writer, I'm also a burlesque performer. And in that space, I've kind of carved out a bit of a niche doing spoken word. And it's a burlesque piece, it's a pride piece, it's Pride Month. Obviously, I can't do the full act. But I thought I could at least get a little more performative. So, Valkyries ride to a chorus containing far more camp than Wagner ever envisioned. Rainbows adorning more than just the bridge beneath each hoofbeat. Warrior queen. And kings who gather the fabulous fallen to a place beyond patriarchal pettiness. Unbreached by the bigotries of various phobics, the halls of Queerhalla, hallowed in the clicks of a million cute pairs of heels,
to celebrate and elevate those no longer condemned to isolation, desperation, and rejection. Halls where the only use for a closet is storing clothes, where no heart needs harden in its own defense, and where everyone knows that love is love. So stare starwards for a glimpse of the Valkyrie's ride. Draw whatever hope it might provide, and know that when the time arrives, I'll see you. And you, and you, and all you cuties in the back. In Queerhalla!
As we give Harlequin another hand, let's bring up Sam again.
Next time, I'll go first. They've been amazing poems for sure. And I've learned a lot in this little time. It's only my second time being up here, but I appreciate all you've been able to share with me. So I'll give a little bit of context, and I see some people do that. It'll help because, again, my mind's everywhere. But essentially, it's about relationships and how you might choose to ignore certain things, even though they're right in front of you. It's called suppression. The ease with which my desire mounts the suffering of life is eye-opening. It's as if the no that supersedes the harmony of immediate gratifying pleasures takes point in the face of ravenous mouths. Many times over, you'll find the family you envisioned in plain view, true friends that infiltrate your shore is carrying a simple yet revealing revelation as to the detrimental mental perspectives you exhibit. The consequence of ailments ignored bear roots in likeness to a grand estate erected upon sands ever more unsettled. In contrasting balance of the chase for the pinnacle, annihilation of the ego is a necessity. The tragic truth is, in some cases, the concession of what you love most is what illuminates the path forward. Thank you.
Let's give Sam another hand. And before I read a final short poem here, just a reminder, next month is July 8th. Because the first is the first Tuesday of the month, so we'll be here the second Tuesday of the month the next month. Give yourselves and everybody else another hand this evening. And this is just a short poem. It's called Green. You know what? I'm going to change the title here on the spot because I thought of something else and I'm not going to expand on it, but I'm going to change it to blue instead, okay? Maybe at some point you'll know why, but anyway. Blue. Blue comes to us to remind when another color leaves or when we are looking away or when we believe we don't dream in color. Or in a ravaging world or day when all other colors are too much or not enough. Thanks. Thanks to all of you for coming out. It was a wonderful night of poetry. And if you can make it out to Art Fest, do that. You're going to see a lot of people that read here all the time and some other people, and there are the two open mics, so Hope to catch you there before the next reading here. How's that? Have a good night, everybody.
And you just heard in this second segment the readings in the second round of the June 3rd and the Journey Continues monthly open mic reading at the Elm Cafe. And again, it's done in the round. And the readings were by, in this portion, in this segment, Beth Marie Michalska, Lori Voss, Sarah Emtage, Billy Kearns, Bruce Cudmore, Calista Markotich, Linda Wild, Liz Huntley Jens, Jenica, Brent Raycroft, Eric Folsom, Marinus Sorensen, Jane McDonald, Harlequin Crow, Sam, and then me. So, first thing I'd like to do is thank you very much for having tuned into this show today, and my heartfelt thanks as well to all involved in the June open mic at the Elm. It was really wonderful, and I'd like to thank readers, and we always have audience members as well, and also a barista each time that takes care of us while we're there, and of course, thanks to the Elm Cafe for always being there for us. I do have about 6 minutes or so to share some upcoming events, and I want to do that, and then about 3 minutes of recorded information, public service announcements, and promotions that will take us to the top of the hour. So I want to say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. It is about 52 minutes after 5 o'clock. Just a quick reminder, do this at the end of every hour, at the end of every segment, whichever the case may be. Every week I upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for the show shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. Usually get that done about 7 o'clock or so. Again, I do have a few minutes here to plug events, and rather than telling you about that, I should just tell you what the events are. One of them is right on us, actually. It's Skeleton Park Arts Fest. It's their, I believe, 20th anniversary. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm not sure about that. maybe it is. Anyway, they are, whatever anniversary it is, they are meeting tonight, starting tonight, actually. The festival in the park starts tomorrow, but starting tonight, there's actually going to be an open mic. And let's see, I've got it right here. Thought I had it here. Anyway, the open mic starts tonight, and it is in what they call their offstage event, and it is Next Church, which is at 89 Coburn Street. That is their offsite. They call that their first place. That starts at 7:30. And doors probably open at about 7, but that will run tonight until 9 o'clock, and it's kind of like their opening act. And then 2 days, all day tomorrow and Sunday, it's held at McBurney Park, also called Skeleton Park, on Ordnance Street in Kingston, if you don't know where it is. And it will... The best thing to do is, this is a free grassroots multidisciplinary art experience that happens in Kingston every summer on the solstice weekend. And and they do have pop-up festivals throughout the year as well. But this is what we're on now. And I would suggest there are so many things going on, and I'm going to mention one other one here, a specific one. But I would suggest you go to skeletonparkartsfest.ca, and then if you add /2025festival/, I don't know if you need that last slash, but anyway, that will take you straight to this site that will give you the full list of everything that's happening over the course of the two-day weekend. And I will mention as well, there is a workshop coming up again. This is tomorrow from 2 to 3 p.m., and that's going to be at Next Church again, which is at 89 Colburn Street, but part of the festival. And it's going to be a workshop, a writing workshop. This will feature former poet laureate and rapper Cadence Weapon, Kingston's current poet laureate Sadiqa DeMeyer, and also spoken word artist Jay Marsh, who's also Jermaine Marshall. In this workshop, all three artists will discuss how to develop and use their voice, from writing poems to developing lyrics and flowing between genres. It says this free event encourages everyone with a creative spark to get writing without worrying about doing it wrong. So that sounds pretty cool. I've only got a minute left, and so I'm not going to be able to do anything, but I will plug starting next week, on the next following weekend, Poets at Art Fest. I'll talk more about it on the show next week, but it runs from June 28th through July 1st. I do want to say I hope you can stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. And that's coming up right at 7 o'clock, right after I air these short messages here. And I do want to thank you all again for having tuned into the show show today. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. And for those of you here in Kingston, I hope you catch Skeleton Park Arts Festival. Have a great weekend.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evenings from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows? You might just find your next favorite song.
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet Beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.